Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Fall, my co-host. Nasser Hamid is on holiday. This is podcast number 492, March 27th, 2011. Steven?
This F1Weekly podcast brought to you by the donation button. You know the donation button. It's right there on the front page at F1Weekly.com. Click on it. You know you want to.
Thank you, Steven. On today's program, Red Bull in a league of their own. How did Sauber do it? With regular, normal exhaust. McLaren, were they sandbagging all this time? Mercedes Grand Prix, not what I was expecting. And will F1 Weekly return to Heidfeld bashing? Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Mr. Rogers, and yourself?
Oh, just great.
We had a race today.
The season is back. Of course, I'm a little rusty doing this podcast in the weekend post-race. But I've got all the lubricants involved, and no, we're ready to go. Exciting. Formula One is back in town. I'm glad that Australia, in the end, turned out to be the opening Grand Prix.
Yes.
Because I think a lot of the other teams were rusty. And, of course, the rustiest bucket of them all is HRT.
What? Were they in the race?
No, they were not in the race, Steven. But still, you have to feel sorry for them. But nevertheless, great stuff. We've got the Australian Grand Prix. Great weather. No downpours.
Just a little cool.
But still, I mean, and we have a lot of open questions. We've got KERS. We've got Pirelli tires that a lot of people have been lambasting.
Yes.
And, of course, we have the
DRS.
Or what they call it in Britain is the mailbox that opens
the mail slot
and closes and delivers.
Ah, okay. There you go.
So very fascinating stuff. We've got these three variables. And, of course, we've got the drivers, new season. We have no Robert Kubica, which is unfortunate. But still, we've got some great possibilities here. For a fantastic season.
Yeah, things are looking really good. We got several teams that look very competitive. If they can catch the Red Bulls, which apparently are exceptionally fast, even without their kinetic recovery system.
Well, you know, they did try it on Friday. Not happy with the reliability. So they didn't use it in qualifying. And let's just go right to qualifying. We've got overcast, a little wind. But nevertheless, a nice
a nice kind of
great for driving.
Spring-like day.
Absolutely. Great driving
fall
weather.
Fall day, I guess, on that. And that's
whatever it is down there on the other side of the country or the Earth.
Planet. And this year, we have the 107% rule back.
Thank goodness for that.
Yes. In the hopes to eliminate the moving chicanes, the self-propelled chicanes on the track that were very prevalent last season. So we're into the first session, bang, straight to the top, Vitaly Petrov. Early in the session, I'm going, huh? What?
Yeah, he's the first car to set a time, 129.463. Michael Schumacher comes out really early on the softs, which is somewhat surprising. And with 10 minutes to go, it's Lewis Hamilton, Sebastian Vettel, Mark Webber, Fernando Alonso, Jenson Button, and Vitaly Petrov. Vitaly Petrov seems to have found his inner self.
Certainly.
And that inner self has a steering wheel.
Yeah, and well, the interesting thing is his team manager basically, well, he left last season as a boy and he's returned as a man.
Apparently so. And I mean, they had pubic hair all over the shower. They were going, what is going on with Vitaly Petrov? But there you have it.
And his voice has changed, too. With
yeah, so very interesting stuff. 5 minutes ago in the first qualifying, and it's Sebastian Vettel, Lewis Hamilton, Kamui Kobayashi, Sergio Perez,
Sauber for Perez.
Sauber showing some pace, and of course, Nico Rosberg. And while this is happening, you see parts of the vehicle falling off the HRT, Stephen.
I wonder
is
why
this
that
a
is.
Sad story?
You know, I gotta wonder why they even came back, because if you're not gonna run any testing, which means you don't even know if your car will move once you've got it completely put together, why wouldn't you at least want to get the car put together and out on a track for a day just to see that it will roll?
I think they should change the rules. I think for safety concerns, the car should be tested with the other tests involved, and it should be mandatory so we can see what is going to be going on the track.
Right.
When cars are going 190 miles an hour.
Yeah. I think that they, at the very least, you put in something that says that you must log a minimum of 1 day
exactly
in the preseason tests
absolutely
on these cars before you can show up at the track. Because to me, it's ridiculous for them to fly to Australia and bolt the car together probably not the first time it's been bolted together, but the first time bolted together and put it on the track for the first time is ridiculous. It's like you say, I'm sure they've gone through all the necessary safety tests and stuff, but how do you know that suspension's not going to come flying off because you decided to use a 1032 instead of a quarter 20 bolt, you know? You didn't have a large enough pin to hold that part on.
No, I agree. I mean, and it's to be honest with you, when you're at the pinnacle of motorsports, this should not be allowed. I think the FIA, I think Jean Todt should step in and say, okay, listen, you cannot begin testing on the day of qualifying.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. They got themselves down there, and they didn't get the car on track until qualifying.
Yeah, it's unfair to their drivers, their staff. They need to have good rules to regulate this because it's a mockery for the sport.
Yeah, at least we go back, and at least teams like Super Aguri, at least they did some testing and put their cars together before they got to the track. Come on. To me, that's pinching pennies, and if you got a reported $2 million from Vittorio Liuzzi, you could have tested for a day.
I agree. And not only that, but, I mean, to be honest with you, when I look at this team, I don't even think they're up to speed at the GP2 level.
I think they would be hard-pressed to keep up with the GP2 car.
Yeah. So I'm very disappointed, and I really think HRT needs to go bye-bye. Because I don't even see them ever being able to qualify for any of the Grand Prix this season.
No, because they've got to basically shave another full, more than a full second off, almost 2 seconds off of their times.
That's not going to happen.
To reach the 107%. They were eliminated with a 132 and a 134. Vittorio out qualified his teammate by almost 2 full seconds. But Vittorio was short by nearly 2 seconds from reaching the 107%. I can't see, unless somebody gets really nice in that first session and starts, pulling back a little bit. I agree with you. The chances of them actually participating in a race this season are pretty slim.
Exactly. Let's move on to Q2. Toro Rosso goes out first. Toro Rosso looking pretty good.
Probably jump back and go over the eliminations.
Well,
the first session.
I was trying to avoid that, Steven.
Yeah,
I
figured you were.
I was hoping you wouldn't notice.
Yeah, well, out in
the okay, first, let's just get right into it. Who is this guy? Nick Heidfeld. Okay, they thought...
Well, you see him in testing. He gets in the car. Boom, he's up to the top of the timesheets in the car. And then now he's...
Testing is a different situation, Stephen. And me and you have been blamed for too much Nick Heidfeld
bashing. Even when he's done reasonably well. But
exactly. And sometimes we've eaten our words. We've eaten crow. But still, I decided to keep an open mind.
Yes.
And you know what?
He was outqualified by Rubens Barrichello.
I was right. Everybody is wrong. I still think they should have gone with some young gun like Nico Hülkenberg and really prove, you know.
Or frankly, for that matter, the way Romain Grosjean's going.
Exactly.
This season.
And I'm telling you, if Nick Heidfeld does this two or three more times, if Flavio was in charge.
Well, I think
it's you're fired.
Yeah.
We need to be making some big, big point grabs here.
Well, especially and he's not when your other driver, you know, qualifies in sixth.
What's going on?
There's no, and you know, and we know Vitaly, or if we go back and look at Vitaly's season last year, Vitaly wasn't that fantastic a driver.
No, and all of a sudden, he looks like Michael Schumacher.
Yeah, and Nick Heidfeld made some mistakes, but again,
he choked.
We can't.
He choked under pressure. And this was his moment to shine. He wasted it. Let's just say something happens good in Malaysia 2 weeks from now.
This will be forgotten.
This will be forgotten.
Unless,
but from my point of view, he's going to choke again.
We shall see.
Obviously, the car is decent.
Obviously, the car is pretty damn good, from at least in Vitaly's hands.
Exactly. So I'm happy for Vitaly Petrov, and I apologize to his entire family.
I was disappointed we didn't get a chance to see his manager on television.
Exactly, and you know me, I've got some really kinky issues. But anyway, let's move on.
So let's throw everybody else out of the bus.
Let's get
here.
It all out of the way, Steve.
Rubens Barrichello's out.
Which is unbelievable.
Which means he gets outqualified by his new teammate, Pastor Maldonado.
And apparently all the new guys are looking wonderful, except for Nick Heidfeld.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he's the only one who's not truly a rookie. Heikki Kovalainen's out. Yarno Trulli's out. Timo Glock. Jerome D'Ambrosio, whoever he might be.
Virgin, my friend.
I know he's in a Virgin, but I don't even know where he came from.
He came from people.
And then Vitantonio Narain Karthikeyan are out because they didn't even have
enough
pace to get to qualify.
Exactly. And of course, in that session, Petrov is in P3. As Nick Heidfeld looks at the monitor and wets his fireproof pants. Thank you very much. So can we now continue?
Yes, now we can go to Q2.
And actually, Rubinho did get through Q1, Stephen. He was in the gravel in Q2.
Yes.
So you jumped the gun a little bit.
A little bit.
And you know what? I don't blame you.
Because
that big mistake was ridiculous. But on the other hand, he had serious issues getting into Australia from Buenos Aires. And the flights were delayed. He had heavy jet lag. He didn't get the... Exactly. Exactly.
Rubens, you're a professional race driver. Well, you should have been there last week.
The worst part is the Geritol got stuck.
Got stuck in
Brazil.
Stuck in customs.
So, yeah, they thought it was some kind of weird steroid.
So
anyway, yeah. So
he didn't set of time. That's why.
Yes, so Rubinho does go in the gravel, makes a huge mistake. 8 minutes left to go in the session. And, of course, it's Lewis Hamilton, Nico Rosberg looking outstanding. Sebastian Buemi putting up some pretty good numbers. Jaime Alguersuari and my friend Paul De Rista. Another new guy
and who's
doing well.
Yes. And if you watch the speed broadcast, the cousin of Dario Franchitti. It's like every time they say the guy's name, they go, oh, Paul De Rista, cousin of Dario Franchitti in IndyCar. It's like,
you know what's
okay,
really funny? Is I obviously watch the BBC. Not one mention of Dario Franchitti. Not one.
Yeah, big surprise.
But anyway, yes, he is the cousin of Dario. And they're both from Scotland.
Scotland.
That's why I'm wearing my favorite hat today.
Ah.
Anyway, there you have it. 5 minutes to go. Sebastian Vettel goes right to the top with a 1-2-4-0-9-0. 2 minutes to go. Sebastian Vettel, Jenson Button, Lewis Hamilton, Nico Rosberg, and Sebastian Buemi. Very impressed with Toro Rosso. Nico Rosberg is doing a great job out-qualifying, once again, Michael Schumacher. But on the other hand, I am really stunned on the pace that the McLarens have found
Yeah, they were either completely sandbagging, or I think they pulled a rabbit out of the hat with the changes.
Okay, you could redesign exhaust all you want. Of course, they went out and said they copied Red Bull's exhaust. But still, to gain that much pace from a redesigned exhaust system, I am a little bit skeptical, and I think they were sandbagging, which is fine. I like sandbagging. I mean, this is the psychological warfare is definitely part of the game.
Very important. Well, out in the second session are Michael Schumacher, not even getting to Q3, which is, you know, it's going to be the topic of discussion all week. Is he too old? Is he over?
Well, not only that, but to be honest with you, I don't think he's too old. I don't think it's a Schumacher issue. But to be honest with you, and I was predicting Mercedes Grand Prix doing big things this season, and I hate to say it, but they fall short.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see whether or not they can get back on track because they don't have a very good weekend. After him is Jaime Alguersuari in his STR, Sergio Perez in his Sauber, Paul De Rista, Pastor Maldonado, and Adrian Sutil out in the session, along with Rubens Barrichello, who did not set a time because he... And the interesting thing with what Brutens does is he does it on the first lap of the race, too. It's like, well, dude, it was you think he would have learned his lesson.
To be honest with you, it looked a lot like the mistake that Karim Chandouk did when he first came out in Friday first practice. And all of a sudden, he loses it, crashes the car. Everybody's looking at him like he's a loser. But to be honest with you, I think it's a combination of Kurs and the Pirelli tires. And it catches the drivers a little off guard when the tires are a bit cold on the first lap. And I think the same thing happened to Rubinho.
Yeah. Well, and the DRS, too, is available to them around the entire track.
Correct.
Qualifying, which, yet it's a distraction. But what I think you're seeing, or at least what we saw with Rubens, is that, one, he was on Cole Pirelli's. Mm-hmm. He gets himself just a tiny bit too wide, getting ready to go into that corner. And it... The back tires let go, and that was the end of the
show. And let's not forget, this is the first race, first qualifying of the season. There's going to be some jitters. There's going to be some jet lag. There's going to be some...
adrenaline rush.
Absolutely. All of a sudden, you're pumped up, and it's super easy to make mistakes.
Yeah.
Not everybody is Fernando Alonso.
Or Sebastian Vettel, for that matter, the way he's going so far.
Well, he's on a complete other level.
Different planet right now. So into Q3.
Lewis Hamilton goes out on the softs. 5 minutes to go. It's Sebastian Vettel, Mark Webber, Lewis Hamilton, Jenson Button, and Nico Rosberg. And obviously, this is becoming, and I'm a little bit disappointed with the Ferraris. I thought they would challenge a little bit more. Obviously, McLaren has been sandbagging and has outstanding pace, and Red Bull is completely out of control. But don't forget, Red Bull is not using Kurs for qualifying. Lewis Hamilton and Jenson Button are, and so are the Ferraris. And I'm just surprised how well McLaren is doing, and that's why I'm claiming they were sandbagging, because to make that kind of leap in engineering, there are...
Well, just to get that much more performance out of the car in what amounts to a two-week period.
There are engineering constraints that you can't overcome, and I'm telling you, there is no way they could have done this unless they had a great car to begin with. They tweaked it a little bit, and it became
even found, better. Yeah, and basically found that one... screw turn that was the important one.
Exactly. 2 minutes to go, Felipe Massa spins, coming out of the pits, similar to what was going on, like I said earlier, with Karim Chandouk and Rubens Barrichello. The Pirellis are still a question mark, but still...
The hard ones, when they're cold, are hard.
Exactly.
And very slick.
I completely agree. But in the end, you predicted it, Steve. Sebastian Vettel gets pole position. Mark Webber...
Well, almost. They were this close to locking out.
This close doesn't cut the mustard, Steven.
They were very close to locking out the front row to start the season. But Lewis Hamilton in his McLaren is just a little bit faster, about 9/10, 9/1000ths faster than Mr. Webber. And then Button drops in. But the scary part about this, I think, for the other teams has got to be Sebastian Vettel sets, basically gets pole by besting Lewis Hamilton by almost a second.
Yes, exactly. It's completely without Kurs.
With no Kurs.
Yeah, it's just like, doing it, baby. Rock and roll.
Yeah, just a little scary there. So you've got Red Bull and McLaren locking out the front two rows. Fernando Alonso will start in fifth. Vitaly Petrov beside him, which Fernando's got to be going, oh, not that kid again.
Yep, Vitaly Petrov and Fernando Alonso are going to be forever linked as the latest Match.com couple of the season.
The couple of the season. Starting seventh will be Nico Rosberg. Beside him will be Felipe Massa. Kumi Kobayashi and Sebastian Buemi will wrap up the top 10.
Now, the other thing is, you know, Felipe Massa, not very impressive.
For a guy who
definitely not pushing his teammate as we were hoping he would, just for the excitement of the spectators.
You know, just to give us something to talk about, too. Really subpar performance from Felipe the whole weekend. He was just never really showed much pace. And we're kind of wondering what happened to the driver that was at Ferrari before Fernando showed up, because he seems to have gone on vacation.
I think he's simply intimidated, and I just don't see him at Ferrari for another season unless something miraculous happens. And I agree, it's the first race. Let me not jump to conclusions. But still, there's a lot of things that are surprising here. Massa, Heidfeld, there's some bizarre stuff going on. Mercedes Grand Prix. A lot of things that I expected to be a little more machismo, and it just didn't materialize.
No, didn't show up.
So very disappointing. Interesting, but still, once again, part two of the 2010 season where Sebastian Vettel is in his own element. He's in his own world.
Yep.
He's confident. He's macho.
Well, he's won five of his last six races over the past two seasons.
And he's super, super relaxed.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy doesn't show any pressure at all because he's got great machinery, great people around him.
And he's having fun because
he's having fun.
Winning and no one can keep up with him.
Absolutely. And he, of course, his father, his papito, was at the race. So pretty interesting stuff, but pretty great stuff. And I have a funny feeling. He's going to be really punchy
if he doesn't, Schumi's record. Yeah, if he doesn't make mistakes and they can... Well, didn't they mentioned over the weekend that Red Bull signed their top 50 engineers to contract extensions through 2015, you know, like for five more years or something ridiculous. So basically, you've got this group of guys building this car now who are going to be there for some time.
Exactly.
And I agree with you that, you know, he could really give Schumacher a run for his money because Red Bull's going to have the resources and the talent there to do it.
And that's the thing. That's the key. They have the resources and they have Sebastian Vettel.
Yeah.
It doesn't get better than that, no. Steven.
Well, you've got Adrian Newey putting together the format of the car, and the guys he's got working for him are obviously pretty good.
Yes. No.
Though they can't seem to get Kurs to work.
Well, yeah, oh. You know what? They don't need to.
Well, at this point, they don't.
Because it's junk. Kurs is way overrated.
Yeah.
It's really a gimmick.
It's weight. That doesn't,
and gimmicks really don't last very long.
No. And, you know, if you're going to... Why don't you, if you really want to be green, have the FIA put together a formulae that uses electric cars. It's not messing with Formula 1.
I don't even want to see this formulae, Steven. Electric cars are great for the elderly.
Yeah, they're good for the environment. And
are
good,
they?
Good for people on the street.
Not really. That's overrated, Steven. Those batteries have to go somewhere at the end of their lifespan.
They get recycled.
Do they?
Yeah.
Recycled. Yeah. You believe that, Steven?
Yes, I do.
Yeah? I think they ship them over to Japan.
And throw them on the reactor?
Exactly. Okay, let's move on to the Grand Prix.
Grand Prix.
Australian Grand Prix. We're excited. You know, I love Melbourne. It's a great track.
Yes.
The people are electrifying. There's great grid girls, great women. Great men, too, I guess.
If you go that way.
But anyway, no, it's a great race. I'm really happy about this. And it's funny because I was getting all my gear together and, you know, get my computers working, my monitors up to speed. And I realized, boy, I'm out of practice. And it's weird. And I've decided that F1 Weekly now will have a practice race before the race. Because, boy, I was so out of it trying to get everything together. But in the end, I got it.
You didn't get any practice during practice?
Yeah, well, no, they qualifying? Don't, it's not televised, Steve. Okay? Qualifying, yeah, but, you know, I'm rusty. It, you know, as I get older, it gets harder and harder.
The BBC covered all the practices.
They cover everything.
So, but you were just, you were at work. Huh? For first practice, you were probably at work.
No, work is F1 Weekly for me. Friday. My whole life is F1 Weekly, Stephen. I was probably scrubbing the floors and the toilets in the F1 Weekly Palatial Studios because we've had to cut back a little bit due to funding problems.
Ah.
But anyway, let's go right to this Grand Prix. Pretty exciting stuff. We've got a fantastic grid. Of course, Nick Heidfeld is way back there.
Back in the back of the field.
But anyway, let's just go right to it, Stephen.
Yes,
Pirelli's... Lights go out.
Yep, Pirelli's brought their soft and hard compounds.
And really, you know, the Pirelli's is the big question here. Everybody's thinking three... Ferrari's thinking three stops. McLaren's thinking three stops. Everybody's thinking multiple stops. And I hate to say this, but I think a lot of these people have convinced themselves what they have to do until they see, before they see the data.
Yeah.
And a lot of this is proven wrong, which is very interesting.
Well, some people have been able to make them last longer, but the performance of the soft tire versus the hard tire was pretty dramatic in this race. The hard tire was not nearly as quick, but the softs were going off reasonably fast. So, yeah, we'll see how this works out.
Not too unexpected. But anyway, the lights go out. A fantastic start for Sebastian Vettel. It's pretty much unchallenged. Yeah.
What? He doesn't have curves?
Okay. Now, wait a minute. It was a secret, Steve. They didn't say they didn't have curves for the race, but in fact, you're right. They didn't.
Well, the beginning of the the beginning of the commentary says, "Hey, by the way, they're not using curves."
Yeah, but they don't know nothing about nothing.
But I don't think anybody knew that they didn't have it in the car.
They didn't have it in the car.
Because basically their battery just stayed charged.
Exactly. And it's exactly. And they had the stickers, you know, with the little lightning bolt on there. But what's really great is Sebastian Vettel has a great start. Vitaly Petrov has an outstanding start going on the outside.
Gets himself up to fourth.
And Felipe Massa has a good start as well. And the macho dude from Spain has a terrible start.
Oh, he got squeezed.
He got squeezed, but he's supposed to be macho.
Yeah, he got squeezed the outside of the corner in the turn one, and he basically just... everybody's waving as they go past because he lost so much momentum.
Well, once you get into that situation on the outside, all of a sudden, when you realize and you see all these cars passing you, you know you've got to get your act together.
He made a mistake.
Nick Heidfeld did get up to P13, Stephen. See, I'm not bashing him.
Yet, but it's too bad he...
And
How much further up the grid does it get from there,
Clark? I understand, Steve, but I'm just trying to keep an open mind. Lap 2, Michael Schumacher pits due to a puncture. He was hit by, I believe, Sebastian Buemi.
Was it Buemi or was it one of the, Perez?
I don't think it was Perez. Perez is a good dude.
Well, the Williams came in and changed its nose.
Yeah, but that was later on in the race, Stephen.
No, see, that was just before Michael came in. But the interesting thing about that is that they showed that incident. There were like three other incidents in that quarter on the same lap. It was crazy.
Well, there were a lot of incidents that actually never even got spoken about, which was sort of a big bummer for me because I was trying to get some information. What about that guy way in the back going into the dirt? You know, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. But anyway, that's the way it is. Lap 3.
Oh, was Aguaspari? No. They didn't take us off his nose, though.
I'm not sure what to tell you, Steven, but I know what's going on here. The best part is Jenson Button all over Felipe Massa, tries to go around on lap 3. Felipe Massa, to be honest with you, you know, and I'm not a Massa fan, but I was very impressed on how he was defending his position.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I saw testicular fortitude.
Yeah, he was doing a really good job. There were a couple of times when Button really had him passed.
Oh, absolutely.
And Felipe was able to break a little bit later and then slam the door. The thing that I found interesting was the strategy that Felipe was using, because he knew that Button was going to get the DRS on that front straightaway. So Massa was conserving his curse charge until he started that straight, and it was giving him just enough of a boost to overcome Button's ability, you know, basically Button's reduced drag going down the straight, and was able to just see ya.
Exactly. No, it was very impressive. I thought Felipe Massa, even though he was slower, and I'm not sure why the Ferrari was so much slower than the McLaren, he did do a good job in defending his position. Lap 5, a 1:32.342 for Sebastian Vettel, fast lap of the race. Lap 6, Rubinho passes Sergio Perez, and Pastor Maldonado passes Heikki Kovalainen. On lap 7, team telling Felipe Massa, please adjust your brake balance. You've got some heating issues.
Yeah. And they talked about it quite a bit on the speed broadcast. In the, it's a really tough track on brakes because there's a lot of medium speed corners which require, you got to brake in, you got to, and then you're getting out and you're braking again reasonably quickly. So you're not getting a lot of time to cool the brakes down.
That's true. So by lap 7th, it's Sebastian Vettel, Lewis Hamilton, Mark Webber, Vitaly Petrov in P4. Steven, Renault is going back to the front of the sharp end. Felipe Massa in 5th, Jenson Button, Fernando Alonso, Nico Rosberg, Kamui Kobayashi, Sebastian Buemi, Paul De Rista, and Adrian Sutil round off the top 10.
You see Vitaly in this car and you're going like, if Vitaly's in 4th, where would Robert Kubica be?
Robert Kubica would be in front. No, and you know what's really interesting is now with the black paint job, it's sort of understated, and they're not so noticeable.
Yeah. It's one of those cars that's kind of tough to pick up on the television.
Exactly.
Because it's being black, you can't really tell. You know, there's so many gray cars on the grid, too, that it's kind of like, what is it? Oh, okay. Oh, there's the gold. You just get a hint of the gold. And oh, okay. It's the Renault.
Exactly. So very impressive. And by the way, they do call it the Renault. They don't call it the Lotus GP or whatever.
Yeah.
And the Lotus team gets Lotus. So I've noticed that in the printed readouts, the press releases, it's pretty much Renault. And then Lotus, Team Lotus is the Tony Fernandez team.
Right.
Lap 8, 1:32.310. Lewis Hamilton with a fast lap of the race. Fernando Alonso closing fast on Mr. Bouton. Lap 9, Adrian Sutil pressuring Paul De Rista, and there will be some issues later on in the race whether Paul De Rista let Adrian Sutil by, and apparently they have different strategies. And Paul De Rista, being its first Formula One Grand Prix, of course he's going to let him by, Steven.
Yeah, and no, his teammate, he's having a little bit of trouble keeping the car going fast. It makes sense to, you know, let your teammate pass instead of hanging him up. And lap 9, Mark Webber gets on his radio going, my tires are starting to go.
Whiner. Don't worry, other people say the same thing. Lap 10, Felipe Massa continues to fight and block Jenson Button. And on this particular lap, Sebastian Vettel says, rear tires are starting to go. Lap 11. Pastor Maldonado pulled off the track.
He's done.
What happened? I never found out.
We think that maybe something got broke.
Oh, really? Huh.
But again, you know, you get the BBC broadcast, they should tell you.
Yeah, well, they said nothing.
Else, yeah.
Because it was Pastor Maldonado. They figured, loser. Yeah. But anyway, well, you know, he pretty good qualifying. He's outdid Rubinho. Apparently, Williams is having some technical issues, and I believe this was hydraulics. Jenson Button passes on the emergency part of the road. And, you know, as soon as I saw this, I go, you know, okay, just give the position back and, you know, continue the race.
Yeah.
Why is this so complicated with drivers?
Well,
because you know why? Because it goes against everything they know.
Yeah.
To give position back, it just makes no sense.
Exactly, and not only that, but Jens was contending that Felipe forced him off. Well, it doesn't matter, Jens. Even if he did, you still have to give the pace place back because you went off the track.
That's called hit the brakes.
Yeah, and then he basically, you know, burns himself because Felipe lets Alonso catch up and get by him so that Jens will have to get up two places if he gives up his
exactly,
places.
Exactly, because somebody told Felipe that Fernando is faster than him.
No.
Yeah.
Again?
Shocking. But yeah.
I don't know if Fernando's going to be able to claim that next week because, you know, by the time this race is over, Felipe's got the fastest lap.
I don't want to talk about that, Stephen, right now. But all I know is Jenson Button really should blame McLaren for not telling him to
give it up.
Back. And because they were just waiting for the FIA and the stewards, and it took too long.
Yeah.
By then, the Ferraris pitted and they laughed.
Well, and then Jens ends up taking a penalty because...
Of course, he's going to have to.
Yeah.
It was obvious to everyone. It was obvious to everyone. Lap 12, Mark Webber pits, goes with a hard compound. Jenson Button has not given up position. Fernando Alonso pits, 3.7 stop, goes with the soft tires. Jenson Button tells his team, I was in front. I was.
He forced me off the track.
Yep. And the steward said, frankly, I don't give a damn.
Exactly.
Lap 13, Felipe Massa pits in front of Sergio Perez of Sauber. Sebastian Vettel pits from the lead. Rubinho pits as well. And of course, it's announced really quickly, drive-through penalty for number four driver, Jenson Button. Unfortunately, with a lot of these pits from the Ferraris and everybody else, they come out into a lot of traffic on lap 15. Fernando Alonso is P10. Sebastian Vettel does get by Jenson Button because after he pits, he comes out, he's behind Jenson Button, and you know what he says? I can't take this anymore. I've got a job to do, and I've got an appointment at the Strudel factory in Dusseldorf.
I need to get home.
Yeah, so he gets right around him pretty quickly. It was an excellent pass. Fast lap of the race, lap 15, 1:31.904. Fernando Alonso, Nick Heidfeld, and Sebastian Buemi pit. Lap 16, Lewis Hamilton pits. Sebastian Vettel passes by. Nico Rosberg, Kamui Kobayashi, and Adrian Sutil pit on lap 16 as well. Fast lap of the race on lap 16, Sebastian Vettel with a 1:31.548. Very good stuff. And it's not the most exciting race of the year.
No,
but the season. It's the first race, but still, it's a little bit boring.
It starts to drag. The biggest.
The only good part is Formula One.
Yeah. Well, you also get the issue of the fact that, you know, the leaders. Hey, guys, see you later.
Yeah, Sebastian Vettel is in full control of this.
Yeah.
Lap 17, fast lap of the race. Sebastian Vettel with a 1:30.800. Jenson Button does his drive through. Heikki Kovalainen goes off. Rubinho gets by. Jaime Alguersuari and Heikki Kovalainen pit. Lap 18. Petrov is looking good, still in P4, while, I'm sorry, Nick Heidfeld is in 15th position.
Yeah, you know, we know he's got a car, a good car, and he's not going anywhere with it. It's ridiculous. It's like, Nick, hello, wake up.
Well, not only that, but I'm thinking, you know, they must have gotten the setup completely wrong to make Nick that uncomfortable. Because, he's a competent driver.
Oh, yeah.
But how could he... How could they get it so wrong?
You know, maybe they just used Vitalis and that was not a good choice for
him. I don't know. And I'm sure we'll hear more about this perhaps through the week. But still, for Nick Heidfeld to be that off the pace compared to his teammate, there's definitely more than Nick Heidfeld choking. I mean, there's definitely a bad setup. They got something wrong on the car.
Maybe his curves was... ineffective or not working properly or something, you know, maybe it was actually retarding his speed instead of increasing his speed.
Perhaps. I'm not sure. Lap 18, Michael Schumacher makes his second pit stop. Fernando Alonso is beginning to catch Vitaly Petrov, and all of a sudden you just get that deja vu. Abu Dhabi, Vitaly, Fernando, Renault.
Yep. But the interesting thing about this is that Fernando really doesn't get within striking distance.
No, not of even Vitaly. Close.
Not like it was
the Renault
at Abu
was
Dhabi
fast,
where he was basically his tail the whole time.
And Vitaly is doing an outstanding job. And I have to admit, by this time of the race, Mercedes Grand Prix has been very disappointing. I thought they'd be at the front of the spear, at the sharp end, and they look similar to last year. I see no progress.
No, nothing that as we would have expected, you know. at the last set of tests, they looked really good, and we thought, okay, yeah, okay, they're coming around. They've finally found their formula, and apparently not.
Lap 19, Jenson Button pits, goes with the soft tires, comes out next to Paul DeRista, but is able to keep ahead. Lap 20, DRS, not really... I mean, it's exciting to see the wings open, the mailbox open, and the mail get delivered. But to be honest with you, for me, it didn't really increase overtaking, excitement.
Yeah, I think I only saw one instance where it was truly effective, and I believe that was Lewis Hamilton passing a back marker.
Heikki Kovalainen, his Lotus is out on lap 20. Rubens Barrichello passes Kamui Kobayashi, and Kamui's sort of passive during this race, not the dominant factor that we expect for him. And let's not forget, it's the first race of the season. But everybody's a little conservative.
Got to remember, too, that maybe he's babying something because...
You mean tires?
Teammate, no, because his teammate's out. Maybe there was a concern that his car would have the same problem. And so they were reining him back.
Kamui...
No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking... I'm getting Perez and Maldonado...
I know that.
...flipped over.
You see, you're just putting all those Latinos in one big bundle, aren't you, Steven?
Yeah.
You racist pig, you!
Well, maybe it was Felipe Massa.
I'm not sure, Steven, but that's another podcast for another day. Lap 22, Rubens Barrichello now pressuring Nico Rosberg for P8. And there's some interesting stuff going on here. He hits Nico Rosberg, spins. And, you know, I'm looking at this. What was Rubinho thinking?
That's the second time in the race that he's basically going to bump somebody.
Yeah, but this time it was severe for Nico Rosberg. And really, it could have been completely avoided by the veteran.
And I'm thinking that, you know, maybe his eyes are larger than his... car kind of thing.
It's like, I'm not sure. Maybe he was reaching for a sandwich for anyway, but still, it was quite brutal for Nico Rosberg. It obviously hits one of the oil coolers. Nico Rosberg's car is smoking, and he's going to be out of the race.
And by the way, his teammate has already pulled his car into the garage.
Exactly. Michael Schumacher had some damage to the under tray and decided to pull into the garage for safety concerns. Lap 23.
I wonder why McLaren didn't do that with their driver.
Yeah, but because they're not wussies. Lap 23, both Mercedes are out, which is absolutely a shame. I'm really disappointed, and I really hope they can gather up and be a little more impressive in Malaysia.
Yeah.
Lap 24, Rubinho pits, goes for a new nose because he just hit Nico. Jenson Button is catching Kamui Kobayashi and passes with his DRS fully open and the envelopes being dropped in. Rubens Barrichello, of course, now is being investigated by the stewards for knocking Nico Rosberg out of the race. Lap 25, Sebastian Vettel to Lewis Hamilton, 7.5 seconds. Lap 26, Mark Webber pits for tires. And this is his third stop, goes for the softs. Lewis Hamilton, left front could be a problem. There's a little extra wear on that left front tire. Lap 27, Fernando Alonso pits from P4, 5.4 second stop, a little longer than he expected. Lap 28, Rubinho has a drive-through penalty, also known as car 11. And now Petrov is in P3. Nick Heidfeld keeps going by the big TV screen and just can't believe it.
Well, he's going by the big TV screen looking at himself. Ooh, I'm in a Formula One car again.
Scoo-be-doo, be-doo, be-doo. Lap 29, Rubinho takes his penalty, and that was that. Lap 30, Fernando Alonso, 3.3 seconds to Mark Webber. Fast lap of the race, 130.103. Lap 31, Felipe Massa pits, goes with a hard compound, and fast lap of the race, it's Fernando Alonso with a 130.081. Lewis Hamilton goes off into the grass, damage to the end of the trade. It's really obvious to the camera, and a lot of people were confused whether he could continue the race or not, but he did and actually had some good numbers.
Yeah, it didn't seem to be affecting the car severely. He wasn't quite as fast as he'd been earlier in the race, but it wasn't slowing him down significantly.
Not only that, but he was slowed down a few laps later by the fact that the team was telling him the car was damaged and he needed to nurse it home.
Right.
But if they hadn't told him that, I think his numbers would have been very competitive.
Yeah, exactly.
Lap 34. It's Sebastian Vettel, Lewis Hamilton, Mark Webber, Vitaly Petrov, Fernando Alonso, Jenson Button, Felipe Massa, Adrian Sutil, Paul Di Resta, and newcomer Sergio Perez for Sauber. Lap 34, Lewis Hamilton floor hanging down on the track. People are freaking out and thinking this guy is not going to finish the race. Lap 35, D'Ambrosio slows Fernando Alonso. Fernando came out, boom. D'Ambrosio was right there, and it sort of screwed up Fernando's lap. Yeah. Fernando was not a happy man for that. Lap 35, Force India actually looking good as well.
Looking pretty solid.
Top 11, not that bad. I'm pretty impressed.
Yeah, I expected a little bit more from him, though, but...
How could you expect more from Force India?
Because they got...
McLaren technology?
Exactly.
Mercedes, big motor?
Yep.
You're right, but still, I thought they were doing okay. Lap 36, Sebastian Vettel pits, Lewis Hamilton pits, Vitaly Petrov pits, Jaime Alguersuari pits, and Paul Di Resta pits. Lap 37, Jenson Button pits, goes with a hard compound, 3.8 second stop, and I have to admit that McLaren stops, I think, were the best. They were the fastest.
They were really pretty much. Red Bull's first two stops were really quick.
Red Bull doing good,
but
too.
But they seem to kind of slack off going later, maybe just being a little more
just tough on Mark Webber's car.
Of course.
Exactly. Lap 39, Fernando Alonso is now catching Mark Webber. Lap 40, Sergio Perez, fast lap of the race, a 1:29.962, and I'm saying, holy maligious.
Yeah.
This guy is doing an outstanding job. Top 10, fast lap of the race, one stop. Who's in charge?
Mm-hmm.
Peter Sauber.
Yep.
And you know what? I have to admit, when Peter Sauber picked Sergio Perez, Nasser and I looked at each other and said, what?
Really?
Huh? But
it's paying off.
Peter Sauber knows what he's doing.
Yep.
There's a reason for some of this stuff.
Well, it got him money. It's obviously done a lot to make his car better.
Absolutely. Lap 41, Mark Webber pits from P3, runs wide at turn three. Rubinho pits. Lap 42. Team telling Perez to catch Jenson Button. I love that. I love it. I love it. I love it. Sergio Perez is my new hero. Fernando Alonso pits comes out in front of Mark Webber. That was a great pit stop, Stephen.
Yeah, that pretty much.
The big leapfrog. It was a fast stop. Ferrari did what they needed to do to get above Mr. Webber.
Yeah, and actually Mark makes a mistake on his outlap on his new tires.
Yep.
Which really made that possible for Fernando to get past him.
Exactly. Lap 45. The team gets on the horn and tells Fernando, don't forget about curves. Remember that little button?
Yeah.
Little electricity, zap.
80 brake horsepower.
I know. So lap 45, we've got Sebastian Vettel, Lewis Hamilton, Vitaly Petrov, Fernando Alonso, Mark Webber, Felipe Massa, Jenson Button, Sergio Perez, Kamui Kobayashi, and Sebastian Buemi doing a fine job for Toro Rosso. Lap 46, Fernando Alonso with a fast lap of the race with a 1:29.608. And the big talk over the town and the track is, are there team orders at Force India? And my thoughts are, do we really care?
Ultimately, why?
They're not contenders.
What would it make? What difference would it make? Right now, neither of their cars are in the points. So does it matter if Sutil finishes ahead of Di Resta?
No, it doesn't. And I laugh and mock all of them. Lap 47, Jenson Button is now catching Felipe Massa and Sergio Perez. Button passes Felipe Massa decisively. Sergio Perez doing a fantastic job for Sauber. And I'm sure the entire nation of Mexico is going for the in-flight burrito, Stephen.
I'm sure they are.
There you have it. Lap 49, Felipe Massa pits with 9 laps to go. Poppycock.
Not
9
good.
Laps to go and he's got a pit? What kind of testicular fortitude is this?
My tires are going off.
I don't care. This is poppycock and I'm telling you, he should have stayed on those set of tires until they were nothing.
Until he was racing on the rims.
Well, I was very disappointed. In the meantime, Fernando Alonso goes fastest. Fast lap of the race, 1:29.597. And he tops that on the same lap with a 1:29.487. Lap 50, Petrov is blowing Nick Heidfeld out of the water. This is on the teleprompter above Melbourne.
Well, the thing is that Nick was up to P13 on that first lap.
We're really happy.
Where is he now?
Who knows and who cares?
It's in P14.
Yeah, it's pathetic.
He's gotten nowhere.
Nowhere.
He's been outraced by...
No testicles, no nothing.
The Force Indias are ahead of him. Both of the Toro Roasters are ahead of him. It's like... Nick, you're in the Renault, not the Lotus.
But he did get a text message from HRT saying that they're interested in his services.
Does he have any money?
Thank you very much. Lap 51, fast lap of the race. Felipe Massa with a 1:29.451. Rubinho pits, and he's out of the race. Lap 52, Sebastian Buemi blocking Felipe Massa from getting by. Massa is not taking any of this and finally does get past the Toro Rosso on lap 54 for P9. Fernando Alonso, 2.7 seconds to Vitaly Petrov. Lap 56, 1:28.947. Fast lap of the race, Felipe Massa all of a sudden found his inner being and did it. Lap 57, Sergio Perez with a one-stop drive has done an outstanding and impressive Grand Prix as far as I'm concerned.
To be able to do it on the Pirellis, you know, last year on the Bridgestones, not a big deal, but to do them on these tires, very impressive. You know, I'm wondering too if that maybe why Kobayashi was a little bit tentative earlier in the race is that he was also trying to work a one-stop strategy, so he was, you know, trying to conserve his tires.
I understand. And there you have it. Of course, the winner is Red Bull's Sebastian Vettel. Lewis Hamilton nurses his car home with that front tongue
of his fork and a flipping around.
Exactly. Vitaly Petrov finishes on the podium and mocks Nick Heidfeld. Fernando Alonso has to deal with looking at Vitaly Petrov's bootay. Mark Webber, Jenson Button, Sergio Perez with seventh. Kamui Kobayashi, Felipe Massa, and Buemi gets into the top 10. An outstanding Grand Prix, Stephen.
Yeah, very good race for Red Bull. Kind of concerned about Mark Webber and his inability to hold on to his positions. But Vettel winning, Hamilton, a very good race considering he had a damaged car. And his ability to really get more out of it than expected. Because his teammate doesn't finish exceptionally well. You know, kind of the same spacing between him and his teammate as it is between Sebastian Vettel and his. But an impressive drive for Petrov to qualify where he did and then turn around and convert that into a podium finish.
Bravo, 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 bravo,
exactly.
Bravo.
You know,
fantastico. Fisichella.
Bringing up Fabio, I'm thinking back to an Australian Grand Prix a couple of years back. When Heikki Kovalainen didn't have a really good day and Flavio
Still
at the hotel. And I seriously believe that Nick Heidfeld was still at the hotel too.
Yeah, absolutely right. He was still at the hotel
thinking way too much about his shrimp on the Barbie and, you know, is the beer going to be cold when the race is over kind of stuff. So
absolutely. For me, the big disappointment with Mercedes Grand Prix, I was stunned. I thought they would come out really attacking for the top four and they didn't. And I just thought it was stunning.
Well, the fact that Schumacher doesn't get out of Q2 really surprised me.
Absolutely. And Nico Rosberg says, it was a tough race until my retirement with the cars behind me pushing hard. I saw Rubens in my mirror and he was quite far away. So I was surprised that he hit me. I immediately thought that was it. And I had to pull over to stop the car. So some bad karma overall for Mercedes Grand Prix. Fernando Alonso, the Petrov nightmare continues. And he says, for the journalists, it's a very interesting race with Petrov and me, but I was looking in the mirror because I had a little title contender behind me, and I was happy to have Mark Webber behind me. So shut the hell up, everybody.
Yeah, and it comes down to Fernando. How do you know the guy in front of you isn't going to turn out to be a title contender?
Exactly.
It's the first race of the season, and he's going to finish on the podium with what the weekend is a very impressive drive this weekend. He could be a problem for you later in the season.
Yep. Paul DiResta, outstanding job from him. I was very, very impressed. The 24-year-old Scott qualified. His experienced teammate Adrian Sutil, and he says, quote, it was a productive for a first race. I made a reasonable start and really had just a reasonable battle with Kamui Kobayashi, but I didn't come off the best from that battle, and I think our speed showed where we finished, and I will not be making the same mistakes again in Malaysia. Sauber driver Sergio Perez and Kamui Kobayashi
I hate to announce this, but they were disqualified from the Australian Grand Prix over technical infringement. This had to do with the rear wing.
And that's really painful because they were both in the points.
Exactly, both in the points. So what happens is a big bummer for them. They lose all those points, which are so important for the Constructors' Championship.
But that also pushes both Force Indias into the points.
Absolutely. Jenson Button, he says that I got an okay start, but I was surprised to see Vitaly up the inside. He got a very good start and forced me wide. Then I got stuck behind Massa because I got a very poor exit out of turn one, and that was the worst move of my race because he was so slow, and he's the most difficult driver to overtake. He blocked very well, but he just slowed us both down massively.
Ooh,
and of course, Red Bull announced right after the race that they never had Kurz on the car. They mocked Kurz and laughed at Kurz. They said Kurz is junk and we can go faster than anybody without Kurz.
We don't need no stinking Kurz.
Pretty much. Pretty much. Peace, but they're going to keep the stickers on the car because they look cool.
Well, they probably have got a contract with, you know, Magneto Morelli or somebody who built their system for them.
So there you have it. Outstanding Grand Prix. It wasn't Dijon Plein One 1979, but you know, if it's Formula One, it's exciting. Yes. Let's go right.
Or did they, you know what it is? They wanted to keep the Kurz in it so they could keep their diamond, you know, their HOV lane sticker on the car.
Exactly.
So that they can, you know, take the diamond lane home.
Exactly. And I've seen them over here in the diamond lane. Let's go right to the Forum 50 words on the Australian Grand Prix ticket. And I'm going to go ahead and start with Auto Racer 5. Sebastian Vettel was by winning this weekend, pole by 8/10, dominating win. What more can you ask for? Massa and Rubens weren't driving well, but Perez and Petrov had amazing drives today. Good job by Kobayashi as well.
From Interraptor, we've got both Swiss cars plus the Swiss driver in the points. That's a good F1 day. Well, it was until they were disqualified. Also, Rubens takes out the wrong Mercedes. Button presses the right button and Lotus laps Virgin. Heidfeld has a lot of explaining to do. The dentist missed his appointment. Duh. Not such a good day. Both drivers were disqualified.
From Frank Douglasson, passing aids are still pointless. Vettel continues to reign as numero uno. Surprising performances from Petrov and Perez. Mercedes needs more work. Heidfeld reminds me why he was unemployed last year. Will HRT ever race again?
Ye writes, the pecking order remains virtually unchanged from last year. What would Kubica have done with that Renault?
I know what he would have done. Okay, from Baumgartner fan, Vitaly on the podium? Well, not too bad for a paid driver since the number one finished outside of the points. Weber has another no-hum race. Pick it up, mate. Perez had a good debut too. First Polish commentary for me. And after lap 5, they stopped talking about Kubica and talked about on-track action.
The original JB writes, lots of talk, not a lot of action. Passing aids don't aid passing. Variable tire consistency isn't all that variable. The leading number two drivers do great as number two drivers, but not troubling their number one drivers. No complaints about the racing. Any F1 race is a good race.
Leon Bray says, Vettel walks it in without really having to extend himself. Vitaly makes it to the podium with a consistent drive. Perez finishes in front of Kamui with only one stop on tires that are supposed to be fragile on a car that, well, Weber has no pace and no curves and no strategy. What is going on at RBR? Apart from Button versus Massa, in the early stages, the racing wasn't all that exciting, but at least the season is underway.
Rathump writes, Vettel has a fine race. Hamilton is the best of the rest and some good racing behind them.
From Cosmos, finally, F1 is back. Vettel was simply untouchable. Vitaly and Perez showed ride buyers can be racers too. Ferrari with rather muted results and double disaster for Mercedes. Special thanks to Pirelli for providing fast degrading tires.
from Neon Zapper. Could this be the season of the rookies? They were very impressive. Jackson writes, glad to see F1 back. DRS and Kurz didn't really do what was promised. Maybe later in the season they will prove themselves. Petrov is impressive.
And finally, from Migakeos, Barrichello looked at rookie driver going to the grass in Q2 and being a kamikaze when trying to pass Rosberg. So there you have it. And Migakeos is our newest member at the forum on F1 Weekly. Keep up the good work. And of course, he's from Portugal. And he's another Miguel.
Yeah,
so keep up the good work, everybody, at the forum. We love it. It's exciting. The season has started. Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be even more exciting, and it's going to get better with people like Petrov, Perez, and, of course, Kamui Kobayashi will get back into his...
Well, he's obviously got a decent car and a car that can go on one set of, basically one stop, but it will be interesting to see how things start to play out, because looking at the beginning of the season points wise, a couple people up there pretty high that you didn't expect to be there.
And real big bummer for Sauber drivers being disqualified. And also, real quickly, this weekend was David Coulthard's 40th birthday, and I know Steve...
and Rubinho decided that he was going to pay homage by driving like
that. And that was Coulthard. The whole thing. Him and David got together, and David said, "I can't crash Formula One cars anymore.
I can't run into people anymore."
So, Rubinho, it's all up to you. So there you have it. A great race. The season is starting, and we're pumped up here at F1Weekly.com. Stay tuned for the midweek show, where we're going to have another outstanding repeat interview. And, of course, another wonderful Motorsports Mondial. So thanks for listening, and good night.
Good night.